spoke the well-dressed youth, taking a roll of bills from his pocket. At the sight of the money, the eyes of the porter shone in anticipation of a tip he might receive. His opinion of the stranger went up several points. Such is the effect of money, and it is not always the right one. "Are you going to travel in this car?" asked Roy. "Yes, it looks like a fairly decent coach. I'm really quite particular how I ride." Roy was rather amused at the airs Mortimer de Royster assumed, and he did not quite know whether to like him or not. The youth had an affected manner of speaking, and some oddities, but in spite of these, Roy thought he might be all right at heart. The boy from the ranch had learned from his life in the West not to judge persons by outward appearances, though they often give an indication of character. "I don't believe I thanked you for what you did for me," went on de Royster to Roy, when the porter returned with his ticket and the change. The colored man's heart was made happy by a generous tip. "I don't know that I did anything in particular. I didn't think they were going to take your hide off, or I would have warned you sooner." "My hide off? I don't quite catch your meaning, my dear chap." "Oh, yes, I see. You mean they were going to skin me. Oh, yes, that's a good joke. Well, thanks to you, they didn't. Still, they got something." "Yes, that watch was a valuable one, and my father gave me it as a present, too. The diamond was worth considerable, too. But I'm glad they did not get my money. Only for your timely warning, they might have. Some of it's mine, but the most of it belongs to the firm I work for. They tried to get me into some swindling games, but I refused to have anything to do with them." And Roy told of the efforts of Baker and his cronies. "I was easily taken in," admitted Mortimer de Royster. "I'm ashamed of myself."
"So, you're awake, are you?" he asked. "What's the matter? What's happened, Mr. Wakely?" asked Roy, recognizing the man who had treated him to ice cream soda. "Oh, you're all right. You're just staying here for a few days." "But what happened? Did the hotel catch fire? Did I get hurt? Did they bring me here?" "I brought you here, but the hotel did not catch fire."
"Then why am I not there in my own room?"
"This is your room for a while."
Something in the man's smile roused Roy's suspicions.
"What do you mean?" he asked quickly. "I'll keep quiet and you'll be all right," spoke Mr. Wakely in what he meant to be a soothing tone. "You can't help yourself. You're here and you're going to stay."
All of Roy's energies were aroused. He believed he had been brought to the place for the purpose of robbery. But how had it been done without his knowledge? He started to leave the bed.
"No, you don't," exclaimed Mr. Wakely. "You stay right there."
"What's that?" cried Roy, a sudden fire coming into his eyes and his hands clenching themselves ready for a fray.
"I must say you've got nerve to do this. I'm going to get up and you and I are going to have a tussle. I guess I haven't roped wild steers and ridden bucking broncos for nothing."
He threw off the covers, noting for the first time that he was fully dressed. But as he attempted to approach Mr. Wakely, a dizziness came over him and he sank back, trembling on the bed.
"You see, I'm right," went on the plotter with an evil smile. "You'd better stay where you are."
It seemed to Roy as if all his strength had left him. He had never felt so weak before, save once when he was recovering from a severe fever.
"Where am I? What do you want?" he managed to ask. "Now, if you'll promise to lie quietly, I'll tell you," went on the man. "I guess I'll not take any chances, though. I'll tie you in bed and you can listen then."